This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Charles Klotfelder is with us, and we're talking about his book, Big Time Sports in American Universities. And I was interested in a quote that you had. You said to pretend that big time sports is just another extracurricular activity, or that athletes are held to the same academic standards as other students, is to engage in a form of double talk that would be unacceptable in most of the classrooms at universities. It would be more in keeping with intellectual traditions of the academy to acknowledge that rather unshakable hold that commercial sports has over the universities that engage in it. That's a pretty heavy condemnation, Charles.
Well, I guess I've made some of my fellow university people uncomfortable, but I just said let's be naive about this, and let's go and look at these mission statements that the universities put out, and then let's take them at face value. And if you did that, you would wonder that there are any sports at all that go on. The universities whose mission statements I looked at, some 50 of them, they are more likely to mention their school of social work, their law school, their medical school, their extension service, than to mention the fact that they have a big time or any kind of athletics. They just don't mention it.
I might point out to everybody, if you're interested about how big time sports are at universities, let me give you some insight here. The number one university in the country with the highest expenses, the University of Texas, almost $13 million. Number two, Ohio State at $102 million. Number three, the University of Florida at $101 million. LSU is at $94 million. And rounding out the top five, the University of Tennessee at $92.5 million. And just to round out the top ten, University of Wisconsin, Auburn University, University of Alabama, University of Oklahoma, and USC rounding out the top 10. When you have universities spending over $100 million to put sports on the field, where does that make any sense?
Nobody said it made sense. It's just one of the real oddities about, America, certainly American universities. We're the only country in the world with universities that have these commercial sports programs. But these are not any kind of Johnny-come-lately. These programs and these rivalries that go along with the programs, they've been around almost a century. You can go back into the 1920s and see that the Michigan-Ohio State conference rivalry was big. So was Georgia and Georgia Tech. Teams that have played each other a long, long time, they appeal to histories that really are not only deep in people's feelings, but also deep in history.
It also seems to me, Charles, that the horse is out of the barn. We're never going to get that horse back in the barn. Am I correct in that observation?
I don't see how that horse is going to get back in the barn, no.
Yeah, and the other thing that I have been critical of when it comes to this discussion of the university chancellors and the presidents is that, one, they're ill-equipped to do anything about it. They don't understand the entertainment profession. They're academians. The other is the fact that they're really in conflict with themselves. And what I mean by that, and we talked about the contributions, is that people love to contribute to universities where they have successful programs, especially sports programs. And then the presidents themselves, of course, fly off to these big-time games in donors' private jets and have them in their boxes. This is a conflict, Charles.
Well, here's the way I view it. The presidents they're doing the bidding of the trustees or the board of governors. So when reformers call upon the presidents to get backbone and to clean up this mess, it's really unfair to ask the president to do that, because at most of these universities, if you're the president or you're applying for the job and you say, I'm really not sure about this big-time sports thing, that's going to be your last interview. And because it's the trustees that really are calling the shots here, it's not that they think that sports is the only important thing at the University of Wisconsin or Illinois, but they don't want to be embarrassed, and therefore they will put the resources into the football and basketball teams to make sure that they win enough games. And that means directing resources, and that means cutting corners on admissions, and that means looking for commercial opportunities to earn money. So it's not that, I guess some people might think that big-time athletics is just about universities making money. They're not making money. They're earning money, but then they're turning around and spending it on what? On teams that they hope will win.
Yeah, and that's where the quicksand aspect comes in, the analogy that I was talking about. They're getting in there, and they're just sinking deeper and deeper in the quicksand. You have said big-time college sports has had the same criticisms leveled against it for 90 years, and nothing has changed appreciably. It just seems quite unlikely that universities on their own and within the NCAA are going to significantly reform anything because the people who run these universities want to have sports. They're not bad people, you say. They just put a lot of value on having winning teams. Well, if they put a lot of value on having winning teams, you know that if you put that type of pressure on coaches, we're going to have the problems that we've had in college sports, and that is people are going to cut corners or they're going to break rules. I mean, this
is
going to happen.
There's every incentive to at least go as close as you can to the line, and then that's going to tempt some people to go over the line. Now, we know that some coaches have a history of going over the line, and some don't. And so it doesn't mean that you will definitely get rule-breaking, but everything is set up to tempt those with a weak spine to go over the line.
You also say it's unlikely that we're going to see something different if we leave it up to the universities. I agree with you. That's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house. You go on to say if something from outside were to change, if Congress were to say we want to see a change, it could probably make something happen. But college sports is pretty popular even in the halls of Congress. And you know, when you stop to think of the problems that we have in this country and in the world, you wonder whether Congress should be focusing on something like that rather than the economy or some of the other problems that we have as well. How likely, because I agree with you, I think Congress, or at least the judicial system, because there's a lot of things happening in the court systems now that are challenging big-time sports in the college arena. So how likely do you think it is that Congress might take a look at this and make changes?
I don't see that in Congress. I mean, they've got their own problems, and they've got their own issues to deal with. Without looking at college sports, which you're right is very, very popular. Probably a better chance is in the judicial system. You've got judges that are not standing for election. They look at the law, they say, hey, this looks a lot like a violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act, and they make a ruling. And that is probably the source of the greatest potential ding to college sports. So, for example, this O'Bannon suit that says, I used to play for UCLA, now you're making money off of me using my likeness in a game, but I'm not getting anything for that. That doesn't sound fair. And now that particular class action suit is making its way through the courts, and it's made the first hurdle. So something like that will have some little effect. The big effect would be if maybe it would take Congress, maybe it would take a court to say, hey, these contributions to commercial sports, they don't look like a contribution to an educational or charitable organization. And in fact, these organizations don't even mention sports when they talk about their mission statement. So let's don't make it deductible. If that change happened, that would really have teeth.
We only have 90 seconds left, Charles, but let's talk, let's give college sports some credit. What are the positives of having big-time college sports?
Well, the positive is when you're in a crowd, you get thrilled, you have a team, you care about them. If they lose, you're sad. If they win, you're happy. It gives life special spice, and people are giving high fives to each other that don't even know each other. So you got to put that down as a positive.
Anything else?
Well, I think the other one is the example it gives. It not only embodies racial toleration, but it also embodies what we say we believe in meritocracy. When you get out there on a field, there's no, your father's pedigree doesn't matter one bit. It's who wins that game.
What do you want people to take away from the book, Charles?
What I'd like to have is that college sports, it should, of course, be in the sports page, but it shouldn't only be in the sports page. It should be a serious topic among those who worry about the future of higher education. This has been one of our strongest industries in the United States, and we should keep that on the front burner in our discussions.
In about 20 seconds, do you see anything changing over the next 10 years in that relationship between big-time sports and American universities?
No, I don't see reform coming from within. I think the biggest wild card is if these head injuries get to be a big problem, that might affect football, and football is what really makes the money happen.
Congratulations on the book, Charles, and thank you for the discussion. I think we got to keep talking about this, and maybe that will help change the relationship between big-time sports and the universities. Thanks a lot, Charles.
Ron, it's been a pleasure.
Charles Klotfelder, he's the author. Check it out. It's called Big Time Sports in American Universities. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.